And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number three is upon us, our Monday Mortgage Minute. Kurt Rogers, welcome, sir. How are you?
I am doing fine. How are you?
Oh, beautiful night, other than it's getting dark now.
It's just got dark earlier.
Yeah, you know, makes you get up out of bed a little earlier and go to bed a little earlier. That's what happens this time of year.
Yeah, that's not necessarily a bad thing.
No, and you know, it is what it is. So, you know, off we go. So, talk to us about the mortgage world with everything going on tomorrow. What do you see rates doing? Are they going to change? Are they going to stay the same? Any big things we should be aware of?
I don't see the federal government has bought more mortgage-backed securities, which just solidifies it. The rates are going to stay right where they are. They're going to move, you know, an eighth of a point up or down, but they're going to continue to stay where they're at. And people are still going to take advantage of the equity that they've built and the lower rates. I don't see it change until mid-next year at all.
What's our time frame like on either somebody buying a new house, getting a new mortgage, versus the refi?
If you're purchasing a home, you can buy and close within 30 days. If you're refinancing because they just can't handle all the business, you're normally going to be looking at 30 to 40 days.
Okay.
In most cases.
Okay. When it comes, I know we've talked about this in the past, but just as a reminder, if somebody's out there trying to purchase a home, they better have their ducks in a row on the front side, or they may not even be able to get to look at that house.
Yeah, and I don't know of any realtors. I have lots of them, and I don't know any of them that will even take you out or even start the process if you haven't started getting the loan application. And what I mean by that, you got to go in and find out what you pre-qual for and then get pre-approved for. And that takes documentation to get it into the underwriter, and they will pre-approve you on what's called a TBD, a to-be-determined home. And that's like a check when you go out to buy a house. It's like you're already done for $400,000 or $500,000, so the seller knows it, and they know they're not wasting their time and taking the home off the market.
Gotcha. So in other words, you better have your ducks in a row on the front side, or you may not be buying a house, period.
Yeah, I've had people that start that process, and 2 weeks later they come and say, okay, I got to get this done, because they're not even getting a chance to look at homes.
Yeah, and if you're
nobody
not getting,
will even accept their offer.
That's right, and if you're not getting that chance, you're just out in the cold. You know, let's face it, Kurt, the only houses you're going to get to look at when you haven't gone through this process are the dogs.
Yeah, they'll show you them.
Right? I mean, I'm being serious. Yeah. They're the only homes you're going to look at are the dogs.
Yeah, not going to be what you want.
No,
that's
all
exactly right.
What's on Haystack tomorrow?
Actually, we're going to be talking with Tony Spurlock tomorrow, chief of the Douglas County Police Department.
Awesome. On Election Day. That'll be interesting.
Yeah, it will.
All right. Kurt, as always, I appreciate it very much. How do folks get a hold of you?
720-895-0500.
All right. Perfect. Good stuff, Kurt, as always. Thanks, man. Have a great night. Talk to you next week.
All righty. Bye-bye.
All right. Take care. That's our Monday Mortgage Minute. Mighty Hand Construction, which, by the way, Kurt can help you with any of the remodeling projects around the house, no matter what it is, upgrades, you name it, he's there for you. And you just heard from Kurt a moment ago, 720-895-0500 is his number. When it comes to Mighty Hand, though, go to klzradio.com, find them. If you're in northern Colorado, you need any upgrades done whatsoever, work with both of those, Kurt and Mighty Hand, and they'll both get you taken care of. klzradio.com, 970-844-9191. All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us. Our next guest now joining us is Dr. Gleb Sapersky. And Dr. Gleb, welcome to Rush to Reason, your CEO of Disaster Avoidance Experts. Welcome, sir.
Thanks so much, John. I really appreciate you inviting me on.
Well, I appreciate you joining us. As you know, there's a lot going on. We got a big election tomorrow night. I'm a business owner, have been for, I've been self-employed really my entire adult life. And big deal for me to try to help those that are in business. I think there's a lot that can be done to avoid certain issues, catastrophes, and so on. But even as individuals, we can do the same thing. What are some tips you've got for folks when it comes to avoiding disaster?
Well, avoiding election disaster risk, this is a big question. You know, our gut reactions just have a lot of trouble accepting the possibility that tomorrow's election might result in a disaster. But as a business owner myself, and as a risk management expert, that's what I run, disaster avoidance experts, I can tell you that we tend to underestimate election disasters just like we underestimate pandemics. These slow moving, high impact, low probability events. And so what you gotta do is treat this like an insurance issue.
Okay.
You gotta buy insurance for an election disaster just like, you know, maybe you should have bought insurance for a pandemic. There are plenty of insurance riders you could have bought for business continuity insurance, but most businesses didn't, and that's why they're having a lot of trouble right now.
Well said. So when it comes to election disasters, and I can relate. I know what you're talking about. We've got cities right now, a lot of major cities, Denver included, boarding the downtown areas up. They're anticipating the worst, and who knows what's going to happen as far as that goes. But the reality is that's what people are preparing for. And as a business, to your point, and even as individuals, if you don't prepare for those things, it could be an ultimate disaster for you and your family.
Absolutely. And so what you got to do is imagine the kind of realistic scenarios that might occur, that people on the top political leaders on the left and the right, and people at the local level, like in Denver, are preparing for at all levels. If they're preparing for these, they're putting serious resources into this, you have to realize that it might well happen. So what might happen? One situation that might happen is major civil disorders because of the election count being prolonged. And it's very likely to be prolonged because of the mail ballots and the legal challenges that will come there, and some political leaders who will be challenging mail voting as legitimate and wanting to stop the count. And so that will result in partisans from either side coming into the street protesting. You know, this summer of protests will be like a pleasant rain in front of a thunderstorm.
Right.
This protest. So you got to be ready for that. And that means, as a business owner, you have to prepare your business for major, serious interruption for the next couple of months. You know, we have election count, which will be ongoing potentially until the Electoral College votes. And if there's conflict around the Electoral College vote, which there very well might be, and there might not be a definitive Electoral College vote, that will go on into January and potentially even February. So what will you do if there are ongoing civil disorders of all sorts going into January, going into February? How will you protect your business, and how will you protect your family, and how will you protect your sanity?
No, well said. And when it comes to some of the things that we're talking about, I guess the question I'm going to ask Dr. Gleb is, does it matter where you're at in the city or the country or the county or the country? Or is this going to be widespread, do you think, if some of the things you're talking about actually do happen?
Well, if you're by downtown, that is definitely a very dangerous area. That's where people tend to congregate, some major downtown areas. And if you're by an election office, that's especially dangerous. Now, my wife and I happen to live about 2 miles from our county board of elections. And we're in Columbus, Ohio, so that's a major metropolitan area. And it's Ohio, which is a swing state. So we're in a pretty dangerous spot. So you better believe it that we're preparing for major disorders around us. So not simply preparing our business, which is, you know, one area,
right,
but preparing our household for there being folks who are going to be marching up and down the streets and potential looters and who will be hiding among peaceful protesters on both sides, as they tend to do.
Right.
So we're preparing our house, defending it in a variety of ways. Got some video cameras, got some motion detector lights, got some stun guns, things like this, just for our household. And because this might well happen, and preparing for curfews, preparing for medical emergencies in case they can't get to us. So these are the kind of things you want to be thinking about, depending on location. I'm just giving myself as an example.
No, I agree. And by the way, everything you just said, and this is my feeling on it, Dr. Gleb, everything you just said, if people are really doing to be prepared for any kind of a disaster, be it hurricane, tornado here in Colorado, we can get blizzards. I mean, there's all sorts of things that really can affect what you're talking about. So if you're prepared for what you're saying, you'd be prepared for all those others as well.
Exactly. Exactly. All of those other things can help you if, you know, you have a lot of food, you have medical emergency stuff. You know, perhaps the camera and the motion detector lights you don't need for a blizzard, but you do need them for various civil disorders, and that's a wise idea to have. And it's
correct. You know, on the security side of the fence as well, Dr. Gleb, and to me, that's all the things that you're talking about, frankly, I think everybody should have, period, anyways. And it's gotten so inexpensive on some of the security end of things, especially when it comes to cameras and things like that. It no longer do you need to go out and spend thousands and thousands of dollars to protect your home. Dr. Gleb, you can do it for less than $500 anymore, or less than that even, probably $200.
Yeah, it cost me definitely less than $500 for all the security protections. Now, something that you need to prepare yourself for, and I highlighted this a little bit before, and it's something that doesn't really apply to blizzards and hurricanes as much, is psychologically. Mm. We greatly underestimate the psychological yes. disturbance that we will experience from major civil disorder, because this is kind of, in a way, the end of the innocence of American democracy. We have never had a major civil disorder around an election. We've always had peaceful transition of power, at least this century. So this will be unprecedented, and it will really shake our faith and our vision of what America is about and the fundamentals of our country. So we need to be prepared for psychologically for this disturbance. One is the system and one is the people. To see people fighting each other on our front lawns, that will be very stressful and traumatic. And that's something that people have to prepare for psychologically. And we greatly underestimate the psychological stress that will result from an election disaster.
No, I think you're very correct in what you just said a moment ago. And for folks that have lived in some of those, or have lived in some of those inner cities and are still there, yeah, I could very easily see that. But, you know, this could even filter out, as we talked earlier, into some of the suburbs and other areas. I mean, we mm-hmm. just don't know where this is going to go. And, you know, not pointing fingers at either side, Dr. Gleb, I frankly could see some of the things that you're talking about when it comes to election results and lawsuits and things along those lines. I could see that happening on both sides. I don't think either side can point the finger and say, oh, we're not going to do that. No, the reality is, I think if either side feels like there's something there to win, they're going to do that.
You're absolutely right. So there was a recent survey that evaluated people's willingness to engage in violence. And there were, on both sides, 41% of Democrats and 44% of Republicans said that they feel at least some justification in using violence if their side loses their election. So 44 and 41 in the low 40s for either side. That is not, you know, that indicates that there's significant potential for violence on both sides. So clearly, this is not a one side or other side issue. There are both sides. And if you look at the plans the top political leaders are making, on both sides, this is clearly, very explicitly, they're saying this on November 4th, that if there's still election counting, if there's contestation, both sides will bring people out into the streets. That is what they're saying. That is very explicitly what they're stating right now. So it is not a one or the other side. It is both sides are clearly going to engage in various protests, which will inevitably, in some cases, result in violence, as we've seen. So you have to be prepared for that.
Yeah, and to your point, I think it really depends on the folks that are tagging along with those individual groups that you just mentioned. And we, you know, we've seen that. We've seen the peaceful protests on let's face it, most of the protests that have gone on have involved, the BLM situation. Antifa shows up, things get out of hand. It's not always the peaceful protesters, and we've seen this in Denver. Typically early in the night, things go well, the curfews are set, everybody goes home, and it's those folks that linger around and hang out afterwards, which is typically where the trouble lies.
You're absolutely right, John, and that's what we will tend to see, that in the later evening, that will be the issue. And again, on both sides, we see quite a bit of willingness to engage in violence, and that means that there won't be too much pressure from either side for their own extremists to put down their weapons and not engage in violence. So we talked about the household. We need to think about businesses.
Okay, let's talk about business. What do we do there?
I'm talking to a lot of my clients about the need to revisit their business continuity plan.
Okay.
There's, the pandemic has shown that the typical business continuity plan doesn't work. It's only meant for, like you said, like a blizzard, 1 or 2 week interruption. This is not that. This is going to be, if it does become as serious and as it might well be, this will be a 2 month thing, 2-3 month thing potentially. So this will be a major interruption to your business function. A lot of your staff will be unprepared for it. So you have to prepare them. You have to look at your business continuity plan. Then you have to look at your staff, provide them with word that this might occur, provide them with mental health services, such as an employee assistance program. Do cross-training and backup. Make sure that you are on the right track for cross-training, backup, that if there's some staff who are unfortunately involved in various ways, discomforted in various ways, if their activities are interrupted, especially for key positions, you need to be able to backfill. So that's something that you really got to be thinking about right now and make sure that over the course of the next couple of days, you get that straightened out, because this will be really serious if you don't.
No, I think you're right on that. I you know, consult businesses on a pretty regular basis, and I've actually been consulting my businesses that I coach, Dr. Gleb, on the very same things that you're talking about. I've got some that are very close to some inner cities across the country, some that are out in the middle of nowhere where it's probably not as big of a deal. But, you know, a lot of those that are in the inner cities, yeah, I've definitely said exactly what you're talking about. You're right on target.
Excellent. And this, and that's the last thing I want to say is, I think we really want to make sure that applies to both businesses and individuals. You want to be thinking about your finances. So first of all, consider withdrawing some money from the bank, whether you're a business or individual, in case you won't be able to get easy access to it. That is definitely a concern. So that's something for you to be thinking about. Then think about what happens with your investments if the stock market crashes, which it very much will, if there indeed is an election disaster. And, you know, I don't know what the actual possibility is of this situation. I'd probably say that, you know, if for the next month, at least, of having major civil disorders might be something like 30%. And that's a pretty serious possibility. So if that happens and the stock market crashes as it does, you want to be prepared for that. And you want to be able to decide, well, maybe you want to invest your, take your money out of it, out of your stocks, or maybe you want to short the market. So think about that. Think about what you want to do with your investments. That is really important for you to be thinking about as well, protecting your financial health.
How much cash on hand should you have, Dr. Gleb?
I'd say at least 5,000.
Okay. Is that for business owners, or
is that just in general? Yes, that's for individuals. So this is a household. Business, of course, I can't say for any specific business. It really depends on the size of your business.
Yeah, very well said. So yeah, it depends on what your payroll is and all that sort of stuff as well, correct?
Exactly.
Yep. But, so as a household, about 5,000 in cash.
Yep, about 5,000 cash for a situation like this is what I recommend, yes.
And unfortunately, as we go across the country, the majority of households, a lot of our listeners, I don't think, fit that bill, but the majority of households across the country can't put $500 cash on hand, Dr. Gleb, because they don't have it.
I agree, and it's sad, and it's a commentary on the challenges with savings and our overspending and overconsumption in this country that, as a disaster avoidance expert, I talk to my clients a lot, my executive coaching clients, who tend to have high earnings but then high spending, how they really have to think about what their future is and cut down their expenses in order to really grow their wealth.
Yep, well said. Dr. Gleb, I appreciate it. We will tell you what, we'll have you back here once things get over with, and if they do, and if not, we'll still have you back, and we'll just sort of see how things go here throughout the week.
I would love to do that, John. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Dr. Gleb, it's Sipursky, and it's the T is silent. It's T-S-I-P-U-R-S-K-Y, CEO of Disaster Avoidance Experts. Pure Force Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. And you know what? It may be time to buy a car. In fact, you may need to get something different with everything we just got done talking about. You may not even be in the right vehicle. If you're not, talk to the guys at Pure Force Chevrolet. They'd love to help you. Yes, they're open tomorrow. Yes, they'll sell you a vehicle. They'll get you dialed in. It's a pretty easy process, by the way. Highway 52 and Highway 85 in Fort Lupton. By the way, not in the city, which actually makes that even much better as far as that goes. PureForceChevrolet.com. Again, 303-659-8311.
Another satisfied customer of Rolly Purifoy and his team at Purifoy Chevrolet.
Hi, my name's Al.
Hi, this is Kathy.
We moved out here in 82, and we needed a better pickup truck to haul my wife's horses, so we went up there, and when we bought the new Chevy pickup, we knew we could count on them to take care of her if I was on the road, which they always have, and that made my job easier being away from home, knowing that they were there for her. In other words, if she broke down, they could come tow her in. She could go up there with a light out. They would take care of it. They're like family.
I will tell you this, when I need a ride home, they have somebody to run me home. In fact, they fight over who's going to drive me. So we've made very good friends up there over the years. Like Al says, they're like family. We walk in and it's like, hi, Kathy, hi, Al. We'd do anything for Rolly and the family up there.
Everything we have is Purifoy, and you just couldn't ask for a better experience.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purifoy. We're just up the road in Fort Lupton and on the web at purifoychevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial, Al Smith. We just talked to our last guest talking about financial, your future, and so on. And, yeah, you know, I think Al would probably say the exact same thing. Make sure you're spending correctly. Make sure you can get to retirement, stay in retirement, handle things, have some cash on hand. Those are the things that Al will guide you through. He is a financial advisor. 303-744-1128 or find him at klzradio.com.
As people move toward the last phase of their lives, retirement, they're faced with many decisions, most of which are financial. For some, that can be filled with anxiety and uncertainty. I'm Al Smith, owner of Golden Eagle Financial, and I've been guiding people for many years as they prepare for or make that transition. I will listen very patiently about what you want your retirement to look like before I make any recommendations. In addition to creating the financial elements of a sound retirement plan, I'll share what I've learned from my clients about what they've done to make their final years fulfilling. It involves finding your purpose in retirement. For many, that may include giving back and helping those who need it. Arrange a free consultation with me, Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial, now at klzradio.com/money.
Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
Now is the time to zero in on your target audience. So many businesses spread themselves too thin by trying to reach an enormous pool of customers. John Rush can help you define your niche, trimming the fat so you can maximize your profits. Not just surviving the shutdowns, but actually beating out your competition with smarter business strategies. You've done a good job staying afloat. Now it's time to hone in on your most profitable customers. Reach John now at RushToReason.com.
Hi, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Thanks for listening to us. In regards to our last guest, which I do my best to not argue with guests, especially ones that I've never really talked to before. Occasionally I will do that, but when it came to Dr. Gleb's 41% estimate of conservatives, you know, being in the street and protesting and potentially having some unrest and violence, folks, that's a way high number. I don't see that number on our side. And I shouldn't even say our side, because I don't view anybody that would protest on our side as being on our side. So really, in my world, it's 0%. I guess if you wanted to throw in some of the extreme groups that are out there that some would call terrorist organizations, which I would not, by the way. If they are, in fact, a terrorist organization, I would call them that. But I don't know that some of the ones that are out there being called terrorist organizations really are. Without full investigation, I'm not sure how you could do that. And if they've not had any kind of pattern of doing what BLM and Antifa is doing, I don't know how you could label them that when you're not labeling BLM a terrorist group. But at any rate, 41% is way high when it comes to the conservative side. I don't know where that polling came from and who was polled and asking if you would use violence after an election to state your point. I would really, really question that 41%. Frankly, I would question the 41% on the other side as well. Are there people on the other side that will use this opportunity or any opportunity to protest and burn things down? Folks, we've already seen that. I don't have to do a poll to determine if there's people on the other side, the BLM, Antifa side. Will they protest and burn things down? I'd have to be a nut job to say they wouldn't. They've already proven they will, and they have. Past performance is a pretty good indicator of what's going to happen in the future. So will Antifa and BLM burn the cities down? If given a chance, they will. You bet your darn bippy they will. Sure enough. Will our side do that? No, folks. We've been through two elections where, yeah, at the end of the night, I went to bed, you know, the two times Obama won. By like 9:30 or 10, I'm like, okay, this thing's done. Even though they haven't said it's done, it's done. I'm going to bed. I'll get up the next morning, go to work, and do what I always do. But I'm not happy, but still went to bed. Made a few posts on Facebook and probably made a few enemies at the same time, but went to bed. I didn't run around and protest and yell and scream and pout and cry and throw a fit and scream in the car and do all the things that the liberal left does at times when they don't get their way. No, you know. Like Richard said earlier, you suck it up, you move on. The next day, you get up and do your thing. Big deal. Am I going to be sad if Donald Trump loses? Yeah, I think our republic is at stake. Am I still going to fight for it daily if he loses? Absolutely. don't think he's going to, by the way, but am I going to go throw a fit and go marching in the streets and carry an AR-15 around and, you know, some other guns slung around me and cause all sorts of civil disorder and disobedience? No, I'm not. So that 41% that was just talked about, folks, that just so you all know, that didn't come from me. That came from our guests. I'm not going to sit here and argue with the guests. They've got their data. They've got their reasons. He's an analyst. I get that, but I don't see that. Now, I will also tell all of you listening, I've told some clients of mine this. If you are anywhere near a downtown area, including even some of the suburbs, yeah, I would be prepared no matter what. If Donald Trump wins especially, be prepared for civil unrest. The left is going to come unglued. They came unglued the last time. There's no way they are going to put up with another 4 years of Donald Trump. They hate the man so desperately that they will do anything to make sure he's not there, including burning their own house down. So, yes, if Donald Trump wins, which I predict he will, you should be prepared, have everything at home dialed in. If you live anywhere near the inner city, I would probably not hang out that night near the inner city. That's just me talking. Take as much stuff out of your house as you can. Go stay with the friends or family, and I would not stay in the downtown area. That's me. Now, I say downtown, like downtown Denver where they're boarding things up and so on. If you live out in Arvada or Boulder or Westminster or Highlands Ranch, yeah, just go home and enjoy yourself. Get a great night's sleep. I don't really see much happening there. Now, as time goes by, and as they continue to determine that, yes, Donald Trump is in fact still president of the United States, more unrest could expand into some of the areas I just mentioned, but I don't see that happening tomorrow night. That would be further down the road, if it happens at all. Folks, I also want to say, I am by no means trying to create any kind of violence or anything along those lines. Nobody accused me of that because I'm not. I'm just trying to tell you how to be prepared. I've told business clients the same thing. I'm trying to tell you the same thing. Just be aware. And by the way, you should be aware at all times anyways. No matter what's going on, no matter what's happening in the world, you should be aware of what's going on around you. That's what they teach you when you go to a concealed weapons course where you learn how to carry properly and so on. They teach you all of the situational awareness things that are out there and to be prepared and watch and look and so on. And you should be doing that no matter what anyways, even around your own house, especially around your own house. While you're driving, though, you should be doing it. I see so many people driving along that are in la-la land that have no clue even where they're at half the time. Be aware of where you're at and what's going on, even in the midst of what's happening tomorrow night, especially now with it getting dark at, say, 5 o'clock at night and you're driving home. I mean, we saw I-225 shut down with BLM and Antifa protesters in broad daylight at 4 o'clock on a Saturday afternoon. Nothing's going to keep that from happening tomorrow night at, say, 8 o'clock or 6 even. Or the night after. So again, folks, be aware. Be aware of what's going on around you. If you want to call in on this topic, feel free to do so. 303-477-5600. I don't know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow night. I do predict a Donald Trump win. I could be completely wrong. I've been wrong before. You know what? If I'm wrong, I'll admit it and we move on. It's called life. I'm not going to cry over it. I'm not going to get upset over it. You know, I've been wrong about lots of things in my life. Doesn't mean that I'll be, you know, completely upset. Way it goes. But I think if you look at a lot of the things that are going on out there and you look at a lot, I said this earlier in the first hour, but you look at a lot of the parades and the rallies and the things that are happening there, I just still see a ton of Trump supporters out there that these polling folks just have completely off. It's a repeat of 2016. Now, I say all that to say this, has Donald Trump done as good a job this time around as last? No. Election-wise, I mean. No, he hasn't. It's always hard to come back and win a second Super Bowl. It's been done. It can be done. It's been proven to be done. But is it always harder the second time around? Absolutely. Why? Because the other side knows exactly what they're up against and what they're gunning against. Donald Trump had a real big advantage in 2016 against Hillary Clinton because nobody knew about him or what he was doing or his campaign or what he was trying to get accomplished or anything. That cat got let out of the bag back in 2016 when he won. You think they would learn a little more this time around, but, you know, the left is always a bunch of pompous you-know-whats. They're never going to admit they're wrong. It's not what they do. Despite what they say about Donald Trump and the fact that they think he's always wrong and will never admit it. It's the pot calling the kettle black. The left never admits it's wrong. Never does it admit it's wrong. Hillary Clinton wouldn't admit anything wrong in the email scandal that happened. She's not going to admit anything going on now with all of the FBI garbage that happened with Donald Trump and her administration and Obama. Obama will never admit he's wrong. Joe Biden won't admit that he's wrong with Hunter Biden. The left never admits they do anything wrong, ever. Ever. I was telling Charlie this earlier, Wadsworth Saturday afternoon over in the Belmar area, and there was a guy holding up a sign. It was a Biden guy. He was holding up a sign that says, fire the liar. That's the sign he was holding up. And I happened to be close to the corner, pulled up, was the first car in line. I rolled down my window. And you all know I don't have a real soft voice. It's fairly loud, actually. And I yell out the window in a very loud voice. The only liar is the guy that you're supporting, him and his son, Biden. They're the liars. And I was yelling this, of course. The guy's looking at me like I'm some sort of a lunatic. But, you know, I was right. The only body lying is Biden and Hunter and the whole campaign. And I just felt like I should tell the guy on the corner that. Now, doubt if I'm going to change his mind. The lady next to me probably thought I was crazy. But, you know, what I had to say, did that matter to her? I don't know. I really don't know. What I do know is this. The amount of people you see on the corners holding up Biden signs, even in Colorado, even in a blue state, and maybe this is a sign because we are in a blue state, but and they're not doing much. It's a onesies, twosies kind of a thing. You can go on almost any other given day, almost anywhere else in town, and find all sorts of Trump parades and paraphernalia and people waving flags and on overpasses and so on. And here's the thing, I never see just one. Rarely. I guess one time I've seen just one lone Trump guy waving a flag. He happened to be in Lafayette, Colorado. Probably the only guy in Lafayette. No, just kidding. But typically, when it comes to the Biden end of it, Biden-Harris thing, they're a onesies, twosies thing. Trump, no. It's out in full force. Does that mean anything? You know, am I giving, you know, any kind of a polling on my end as to what's going to happen? We'll find out tomorrow night, folks. I really don't know the answer to that. Extreme Auto Repair is next. What I do know is that Extreme Auto Repair, they can sell you a set of tires at their cost, Cooper Tires at cost, plus you get a $75 rebate, and we still have winter. In fact, we have laws in Colorado, despite what maybe some of you that have moved in realize, we have traction laws in Colorado. And if you don't have a certain amount of tread depth and the correct tire, and you cause an accident, it's up to $600 fine. And in some cases, you're just not going to go up the mountain. And they can actually put that law into effect in town. So make sure you're ready to go with your vehicle and your tires. Go to klzradio.com, look for Extreme there, or 303-841-1071.
Mistakes happen. Auto repair shops prove their mettle when something goes wrong. The team at Extreme Auto Repair in Parker recognizes that mistakes happen. They're committed to doing what they say, even when that means replacing a failed part for free or honoring the original price they quoted a customer despite unexpected issues. They hear all the time from their loyal customers that's what keeps them coming back because of how the entire team responds when something goes wrong. The techs at Extreme Auto level with you, following through to fix the problem. They don't just replace parts, they repair vehicles. It's that same degree of integrity that keeps their employees around long-term, too. The average Extreme Auto technician has 16-plus years of experience, and they stick around because they share the same commitment when something goes wrong. We do what we say. No arguments, no excuses. Just apologize and work to make it right. KLZradio.com/extreme. Promises kept.
Hey, folks, Kevin Flesh is a guy that you can call and ask about any question you want legally speaking. I had something the other day that I was asking about when it came to some situations I had going on, and Kevin's just really quick to give you a direct answer, no beating around the bush. He'll just tell you straight up what's going on. That's what I like about Kevin. No dinking around. He just gets the job done. It's Kevin Flesh, F-L-E-S-C-H, Flesh and Beck Law Firm, or 303-806-8886.
The hard part of my job is getting the case ready for trial. The really fun part of my job is going to trial.
Call the personal injury attorney who enjoys going to trial, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law.
The thing that people need to do when they're talking with lawyers about trials, ask the lawyer that they're talking to whether they like to go to trial or not.
Although most personal injury cases settle outside of the courtroom, you want an attorney who stands ready to represent you at trial.
The reason that we say trial tested, trial ready is because we do enough cases that we are always ready. And it's like anything else. You ride a bike or, you know, you shoot trap. If you do it often, you're still in good regular practice on it. If you do it once a year, not so much.
Trial tested, trial ready. Personal injury attorney Kevin Flesh. Call today for a free, no obligation consultation. 303-806-8886. Flesh and Beck Law. They get results.
You know you ought to take a second look at your home and auto insurance because premiums keep going up, but you haven't set aside the time. Let Paul Lenigro and his team at Group Insurance Analysts help you for free. Make one free phone call today to review your plan. 303-423-0162.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Something that Donald Trump said, and I've not been able to verify this, but supposedly he said one of the first things he'll do if reelected is fire Fauci. Don't know if that's true or not. Wouldn't hurt my feelings if he did, because I think Fauci's his own little communist dictator anyway, so frankly, he could go tomorrow for all I care. But that's supposedly what Trump said. There's an article, Daily Wire, about how Fauci flip-flopped. And his restaurant-owning relatives are done with his lockdown message. So Dr. Anthony Fauci's cousin, a restaurateur in New York, is bemoaning his famous relatives' continued talk of restrictions and lockdowns to fight the coronavirus pandemic. Fauci, 79, of course, is the director of the NIA, the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, and has a heavy influence on the Trump administration's response to the coronavirus. He especially had one early on. I don't know if he's got so much of one now, but he really did early on. He's also been one of the chief proponents of restrictive lockdown measures to slow the pandemic. His cousin, also named Anthony Fauci, is the 84-year-old founder of La Fontana restaurant in Staten Island. Quote, they shouldn't do the lockdowns, especially now. If you don't abide by the rules, shut that area down, but don't shut the whole industry down. The Staten Island Fauci told the New York Post. His son, Joe Fauci, now runs his New York restaurant and shares his father's opinion on continued restrictions and burdens placed on businesses. In the beginning, I thought Fauci was fabulous, but then a few times he flip-flopped on different things. He had us all locked down at a tremendous rate, Joe told the Post. They should have loosened things up when it was slowing down this past summer. Everything else was loosening up, except the restaurant business. Both Anthonys are from Brooklyn, and the Staten Island Fauci recalls growing up with his cousin, who is now a leading expert in infectious diseases. My father and his father were first cousins. My grandfather and my grandfather, his and mine, were brothers. Joe Fauci added that despite his concerns about his and other businesses, he's very proud of Dr. Fauci. The restaurant industry has been one of the worst sectors impacted by the onset of the coronavirus pandemic and subsequent widespread shutdowns that began back in March, and many states are still partially in effect. Yeah, right here in Colorado, they're still in effect, which went out to dinner, by the way, Saturday night. And as a side note, if they don't get these restaurants here in Colorado more opened up and allowing more freedom of movement inside the restaurant, more tables to be seated and so on, some of these places just aren't going to make it, and you're going to start to see a whole lot more shut down than currently are. According to a new survey released by the National Restaurant Association, staggering 100,000 restaurants have closed on a permanent or long-term basis in the U.S. That's nearly 1 in 6 restaurants shuttered and 3 million restaurant employees out of work. Restaurants are closing at an alarming rate, and without any help, their spirit's only going to get worse. Well, and I know a lot of you don't agree with me here, we don't need to give them any more help. The only help we need to give them is opening. We don't need to give them another check. I know that there's others out there, including Jared Polis, Kevin Polis here in Colorado, that would disagree with me, but they don't need any more financial help. The help they need is to be open and do business. Allow people to go in and eat, sit down, be served, leave a tip, pay the bill. Off they go. I don't see that happening. I will say this, though. I was expecting Jared Polis, Kevin Polis, yesterday to do more when it came to our shutdowns in Colorado, and he surprised me. I'll be honest. He surprised me. He didn't. Which also, Andy and I talked about this a lot last week. We'll talk about it more tomorrow. But to me, that means the left, at least Jared Polis, understands politically speaking what that would have done. And he didn't want to hurt Hickenlooper's chance of winning the Senate or any other races in Colorado being flipped over to the red side because of his mistake. Now, what'll happen after the election and all the ballots have been cast? I think that's anybody's guess at that point. Will Kevin, you know, put in more restrictions at that point? Don't be surprised if that's not the case. In other news, this is coming from the Daily Mail. Overseas, in Paris, there are multitudes of people, tens of thousands of people are leaving that area because they know there's a month-long lockdown coming. And they're just leaving. They're not going to hang around. And folks, that's what these lockdowns are doing. They are not helping any of these areas when it's all said and done. So tens of thousands of Parisians, make sure I'm saying that right, last night caused Paris, of course, so Parisians, caused massive traffic jams, this was last week, in a desperate attempt to flee the French capital ahead of a start of Emmanuel Macron's new national shutdown. There's actually pictures, by the way, where you could see the traffic jams and so on happening because of the people trying to flee, because they're just tired of it. And here in the United States of America, we're the same way, folks. We are tired of being locked down. I can see it when I'm out. The only buddy that's not tired, at least in my opinion, here in Colorado, again, are the Kevins and the Karens of the world. They're fine with it. They want to keep things locked down. They would be fine if everybody wore a mask from this point forward. Outside of that, I think people are sick, and I see people leaving the stores as we speak. The second they get through the threshold, the mask is off. They can't wait to get the bloody thing off, and they're not putting on until they get right in front of the store to walk in, if it's a store that requires a mask. That alone tells you they're sick and tired of wearing masks. They don't want to do it anymore. I predict, we'll talk more about this tomorrow, but I predict Trump wins. I don't think the press will come back and admit this, but he's going to win because of coronavirus tire. That's my prediction. Trump wins because people are sick and tired of all the virus and the nonsense that goes along with it. Fatigue, coronavirus fatigue. Charlie just corrected me. Yes, they're tired of it. It's fatigue. They're tired of it. It's wearing them out. That's my prediction. All right, if you're getting tired of your kitchen at home, you're fatigued with it because you're just tired of how it works or not working, I should say. Maybe you have appliances that even don't work, and the countertop maybe doesn't look great, and it's not functional, and the cabinets are looking a little bit worn. Guess what? You can change all of that, have a beautiful new kitchen, have it enchanted, and have it work for you exactly the way you want it to work. Go to klzradio.com, find Enchanted Kitchens there, 303-376-7588.
You need to stand in your new kitchen to know what works. You have some ideas based on pictures you found online, but you've never actually seen, touched, or felt the counters and cabinets that will become part of your daily life. The Enchanted Kitchens design team built their experience center with you in mind, so you could feel at home, only better, giving you the chance to visualize your new kitchen ahead of time. I'm Marie Christine with Crawford Broadcasting, and I'm over 5'10". I spend a lot of time bending over my countertops at home. The first time I visited the award-winning showroom at Enchanted Kitchens, I stood next to a countertop that reached my waist. Suddenly, I could imagine standing up straight to cook. As a Rush to Reason listener, the design team at Enchanted Kitchens will meet with you for free in their experience center to help you solidify your vision of a kitchen design that works. Visit klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, one other thing I didn't get a chance to talk about that I'll just finish up here. I got 1 minute left is all And that is, I got a text message from Darby, who works here at the station, early Saturday, that said, "Hey, I'm hearing rumors that there's going to be a run on toilet paper, paper towels, Lysol, and the like." And I'm like, oh, geez, not again. Really? I wish it was a really, but really it's the truth, folks. There's already a run now again on toilet paper, Lysol, paper towels. You go to any of the big box stores, Costco and so on, they're limiting you to how much you can purchase. Already happening. Went to Costco in Westminster, or Arvada, I should say, yesterday. No toilet paper in sight. Went to, I don't know why, but went over to Westminster. Arvada had none. Went to Westminster. They had some left. Not a ton. Limit one pack per, you know, one case, if you would, per family. So it's already happening, folks, in anticipation of what's going to happen tomorrow. I hope they're all wrong. I hope there's no shortages. But I would tell you right now, if it were me, I'd stock up tonight. Go get yourself some toilet paper and whatever else you're lacking just to be on the safe side. That's what I would do. So we'll be back tomorrow. Andy's going to join me. It is election day across the country. We'll talk about that plus a lot more. Don't go anywhere. If you missed the first hour, catch it next. This is Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.